Okay, so Pasha Shmini. So we'll start off in Perek Yud. Pasagal, the Torah brings down the story of Nadav Vavihu. Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav Vavihu ishmach tasoi. Vayitam henesh they put fire. And they put on a katayres. Vayakarivu afnei Hashem esh zoro. And he brought before Hashem a strange fire. Asher wait siva oisom. And we know what happened. Pasuk Beis. Vayamusu afnei Hashem. And looking at the psuk in Poshet, it seems not revealed died with Chayiv Misa because they brought the Eish Zara, they brought the strange fire. Yeah, we know the Chazal give other reasons why not revealed died as well. Just perhaps call it a little story, call it a little lesson. The Medrash brings down that not revealed died, Shulay Nosul Noshim. Because they didn't get married. They didn't get married. Since they didn't marry, that was one of the reasons why they died. The Pasuk seems to say, Eish Zara. So they say over a story. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mikosov had a son, Rabbi David was called, who's a Rebbe in his own right at Tzaddik, and he became very, very sick. He became so sick to the point that the doctors gave up hope. The doctors came, and they examined Rabbi David and they were Miyayish, and he said, there's nothing they could do, it's all in Hashem's hands. The only person who didn't give up was the Rebbetzin. His wife, Dovido's wife, was not Miyayish, and she sat literally next to his bedside day and night, crying and being mispalled that Hashem should save her husband, being mispalled for her tefillah shleima. Eventually, her tefillah was a skabel, her tefillah was accepted, and her husband had a refuah. A little while later, her husband said, now I understand pshat in Pasha Shemini. The pasuk tells us, the Nadav and Avihu died because they didn't bring an Eish, because they brought the Eish Zara, they brought a strange fire. Yet Chazal tell us the reason why they died is Shulay Nosu Noshim. They didn't marry a wife. So now we understand Pshat. He says, he was just sick. He said, who saved me? My wife. The tefillahs of my wife saved me. He said, had Nadav and Avihu been married, the tefillahs of the wives would have saved them. Wow. Either they wouldn't have come to this matziv, or even if they did, the tefillahs would have saved. The wife has a kayach. A tefillah can protect a husband. Whether you want to understand it on a simple level, ruchnis, gashmis, she watches over her husband, a wife has a kayach. Amen. And that's what the medrash means, shulay nosul noshim. Because had they been nosul noshim, and they had a wife, then they would have come to die from the eish zorah.
Question. That was a protracted illness, time to daven.
Look, so maybe they could have davened, it shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have fallen to Shematzah. A wife protects the husband also. Right? A story. You could ask Kashas. Kasha Maisi, you could ask? What? Okay. I'm not saying it over as a story. I'm not saying it over as a Rishon. Story. Okay.
But we all know. But wrong according to regular Pshat.
They bought the Eish Zara. They bought a Keteris. They weren't supposed to bring. They went to a Mishkan and they bought a carbon of Keteris.
Why did they do that?
They had their cheshbon why they did it, but they were wrong. They weren't allowed to do it. They weren't allowed to do it. For that they were chayiv. The Gemara in Brachas, we mentioned many times, the Gemara in Brachas says, if a person has a daigo b'libo, a person has a worry in his heart, yashichenu l'achem, should tell it over to others. So Pashat Pshat is, if you tell it over to others, you could unburden yourself, somebody will give you good advice, maybe help you out a little bit, you only gain by saying it over to others. But the Sforim go a bit deeper and say, what does it mean to tell it over to others? Because when you tell it over to others and somebody else feels your tzar, he suffers also. If he suffers in Shemayim, they say, 1 minute, hold on. That person's not supposed to suffer. This person has the Yisurim, not somebody else. When you tell it over to others and they suffer as a result of your suffering, in Shemayim they say, wait, these other people aren't supposed to suffer. The only way to stop them from suffering is by removing your suffering. So when you have it sovereign, you tell it over to others, and they feel for you, that could save you.
Because a sensitive person.
Yes, they could save you. They could save you as well. So b'frat, when it comes to an isha, a wife and a husband and a wife, have that connection,
then
an isha has that tzar, her husband, she has the kayach to be able to save, to save her husband. Okay, a little bark.
So we should tell our wives?
What?
So we should tell our wives?
Why not? Depends on the situation.
You had a cause tzar to another person?
It depends why you're doing it. You're not doing it to cause tzar to somebody else. That's not your intent. That's not your intent. Is that your intent?
No.
That's not your intent at all. No. You're accomplishing
you want them to die
for yourself.
For you.
To die for you. If they fail for you, that can only benefit you. Says I'm going a little bit out of order. It says later on in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalad, all the way towards the end of the parasha, the Pasuk says, you have the word Kedusha three times in about five, six words. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalad. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, v'skadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim, ki kodosh ani. I'm Hashem, you should make yourself holy, and be holy, because I'm kodosh. I'm holy. And the Sefer Og Yosef Chai, he explains beautifully, what's the Lashonis in the Pasuk, v'skadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim, ki kodosh ani. So many times, the word Kedusha, and he brings down a marshal, I'm sure we said it over in the past, that there was once a big tzaddik, and unfortunately, he had a son who was also a tzaddik, but the son was kidnapped and taken away. And for many, many years, the tzaddik didn't know what happened to his son. And he kept on clinging to the hope that his son was alive, and would one day be reunited with his son. And even though he davened and he prayed to be reunited with his son, he was worried, who knows what happened to my son all these years. It's true, when he was kidnapped, he was a tzaddik, but who knows where they took him, what they did to him, what atmosphere he was in, what environment he was in, who knows what happened. Halavai should be alive, and halavai should be a tzaddik. Finally, after many, many, many years, he hears where his son is, and he's able to redeem his son and bring his son back home. And the whole way, before his son is back, the father is very thankful his son is alive, but he's trembling, he's afraid. What is my son like? What happened to him? What is he like? Did he become a Rosha? What is he like? And finally, he meets his son, they reunite, and he sees his son for a few days, and he realizes his son is not a Rosha. Inay was together with these thieves and kidnappers and murderers, whatever else they were. It didn't affect him. He's not a Rosha. He gives shvach vaido. He's so happy that his son is not a Rosha. But then the son notices that his father's joy is not complete. He sees that his father's happiness is not complete. And he says to his father, why aren't you so happy? I came home. I didn't learn from the bad ways. I'm not a Rosha. Why is your joy not complete? And the father says, it's true. You might not have learned from the bad ways. But all the tzidkis that you had and all the good milas that you have, that you lost. That you don't have. It's true. You might not have stooped down to that bad level. But from the level that you were when you left, you're not yet back on that level. I won't be completely happy until you're able to rise back up to the level that you were on before you left. Bilei Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the Mokom of Tuma. The Pasuk calls it Ki Ervas Ha'aretz. It's called Ervas Ha'aretz. Mitzrayim was filled with Kishif, Gilei Arayis. It was not a good place. It was not a good place to be. It was a Mokom Tuma. We went through Mitzrayim. And yet, even though we went through Mitzrayim, we still retained our Ma'ayis. We know that nobody was Mizana, Gil Arayis. We all watched our Mishpachas. And when Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah lists all the Yichus of all the Mishpachas. The Yichus is listed with Hashem's name, with a Yud and a Hey. A Yud before everybody's name, a Hey afterwards, Mishpachas Hayishvi, Hayimna, a Yud and a Hey, to show us that the Shekhinah said Eidus on every single Mishpacha in Klal Yisrael, that there was no Zunus taking place at all. In that sense, we didn't stoop down to the level of Mitzrayim. Also, Shoshino Shimon, we didn't change our names, Mabusham, language, Ushainam, our clothing. We kept some level above the mitzvah. We didn't stoop down to that level. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, that's very good, but it's not enough. You have to live up to the milos of the Ovois, Tavro, Mitzvah, and Yaakov. You have to live up to the great nation that you are. You went down to Mitzrayim. It's true, you might not have fallen as well as the Mitzrim did, but you're not as great as you could have been. You're not as great as you should be. Says the Pasuk, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. You want I should be Hashem, your Elokeichem. Hashem who could call himself Elokeichem, your God, Elokeichem, Viskadishtem. You have to be Kodesh, Sumrei Ra, stay away from the bid. But that's not enough. The Yisim Kedoshim, you have to go above just Sumrei Ra. You have to go above staying away from the bid. You have to be Vasei Tov as well. You have to do good. It's not enough just to stay away and say, I'm living together with a society that sins and I'm staying above it. But the Yisim Kedoshim, I have to be Vasei Tov as well. Why? Ki Kodosh Adi, because I'm Kodosh, says Hashem. And our job is to be on a higher level. like Hashem, so to speak, but the tzaddikim are. You want to be kaddish like me, the yisem kedoshim. You have to rise above it. It's not just enough to do the sumira, but a person has to do the biasei toiv as well. Okay, I'm not going to go into any speeches, but everyone knows that today's society out there is not the great, not a great society for us to be associated with. And the Yetzaharas out there are tremendous. And sometimes the Niskanis are great, but we have to remember, sumira, stay away, stay above. But not only that, not say type, be better, rise above it all. We have that kayach. We have the kayach within us to rise above it all and to be kaddish.
I heard two kids fighting. I'm not talking to anymore because I heard you speak Lashon Hara.
Okay.
And you're shalai.
Good. Good. You have to be careful though. The fight doesn't get out of hand.
He walked away. No.
Fine. Okay. The pasuk right before, Perik Yud Aleph pasuk Mem Gimel, the pasuk reads, "Al teshaksos nafshe seichem v'chol asheretz hashayretz v'loisetamu behem v'netmesem bom." Don't make your nefesh disgusting with all of the shrotzim that creep, and don't become tameh through them. A person can't eat shrotzim. There's Aruch Chaim HaKadosh here that says fascinating words in this pasuk. Aruch Chaim is in Perik Yud Aleph pasuk Mem Gimel. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, "Al teshaksu." We have to know. Why does the Torah repeat this again? The Torah already said, the pasuk right before Mem Aleph, the Chol Asheretz, Hashayretz, Aloretz, Sheketzu, Lo Yeyochel. Pasuk Perik Yud Aleph, Mem Aleph. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Yud Aleph, Mem Aleph. And in Yud Aleph, Mem Aleph, it says, Sheketzu, Lo Yeyochel. You're not allowed to eat Sheketz. Again, in Mem Gimel, after Shaksu, don't be metami yourself, don't disgust yourself, the chol asheretz hasheretz. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Why does the Torah repeat again in Mem Gimel what the Torah already asked in Mem Aleph? And says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, a short piece, the tzarech l'das, l'machaza oid l'tzavitz l'zer. Why does the Torah repeat this tzavah, command us again? Now, v'seinu zal omru, in Torah's kehanim, chazal bring down, the rabbis, as Shapirshu, the Aretz, the Chazru, even though a sheretz came out of the ground and went back in, it's still also. It says, Rechav HaKadosh, it's a good pshat, but I want to end on. The Yeshu Yashiv Devrayim Zal. The Ulai Shabbah HaKosav Lahidia. Perhaps the Pasuk comes to teach us, Ki Ha'echa Mehashirotzim. One who eats from the Shirotzim, Tase Nafshoy Atzmo Sheretz. He turns his nefesh itself into a sheretz. He makes his nefesh disgusting. For who Imro, and that's what the pasuk says, Al teshaksos nafshei seichem. Pirish, what does it mean, Al teshaksos nafshei seichem? Vaitasu nafshei seichem sheketz. Don't turn your nefesh into disgusting, into a sheketz, of a man. And how do you do that? What should you avoid? B'chol ha-sheretz, ha-shayretz, al-ha-oretz, kishetaychel asam. When you eat that sheretz, it affects the nefesh, and you're turning your nefesh into a sheketz. You're making yourself disgusting, a sheketz, when you eat it. Eating something, eating the shvatzim, remosim, affect the person. We don't always understand it, we don't always see it, but it affects the person. The Gemara Numa test brings down, the pasuk ends off, v'loisetamu behem v'nit meisim bom. The word v'nit meisim is spelled vav nun tes mem samach mem. There's no aleph in the word, v'nit meisim. And the Gemara Numa test min aleph says, Al tikri v'nit meisem, don't read it v'nit meisem, ela v'nit tamtem. But a lotion of stuffing up. When a person eats tarfus, it stuffs up the nefesh. And it closes off the nefesh, and a person has an effect on a person. And how many stories are set up of people that ate tarfus and it had an effect on the nefesh? Today, I just happened to have seen a few stories. One story I saw, the story I saw didn't bring down the name of the gadol that it happened with, so I'll say it over anonymously because I don't know who it was with. It was in Yerushalayim, the old Yerushalayim. The first night of Slichas. The first night of Slichas, one of the Gedolim were walking by, and he passes by a certain house, and he hears a lady crying bitter tears. Gefarach. He hears her crying bitterly. He stops, and the crying keeps on going. He knocks on the door, and the lady with bitter tears opens the door, and he says, "Is everything okay? I hear you crying outside. Is everything okay?" And she says, "If you ask me if I'm fine, no emergency." So he says, "Is something I can help you with? Why are you crying for?" And she says, "I'll tell you why I'm crying," she said. because my grandson, one of my grandchildren, I found out that he just took a bechina. One of the melamdim who tests the boys on Gemara just tested my grandson, and he didn't do well. The past few years he was doing very well, and suddenly he's not doing well. And I'm crying for him. How could I be happy if my grandson is not learning well? So the Gadol says to him, you know what? Let me speak to the one who gave me the bechina. Let me speak to his rabbi. Let me see if I can find out if there's a reason why, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it and try to help your grandson. Okay, he calms it down a little bit. It's the Gadol, I guess it was the next day, after Slichus, he goes to the house, and he finds out which yeshiva the boy went to, who the boychen was, he speaks to him, and he says, yeah, I don't know what happened, this boy used to be very, very good in learning, and suddenly he's just, he's slouched off, it's not working. The Gadol goes to the house, he speaks to the boy's parents, and he asks them, anything changed in the boy's schedule, and you know, what he's doing? No. He speaks to the boy himself, and the boy tells him, does everything, doesn't know of any change, just doesn't understand, suddenly, skatnish, the head's verstopped, doesn't go into his head, it's not working, doesn't go into his head. He says to the boy, tell me, what do you do every day? The boy tells him his whole routine, and so on. Finally, he says to him, and by the way, we have a new neighbor who moved in next door, and this neighbor is not so ay-ay-ay, and he brings over some fruit for us to eat. And I take from him some fruits to eat.
Fruit.
Right. Grapes. They do a little chakiru drisha, and they find out that the fruits didn't have meiser taken off.
Wow.
There was no meiser taken off from the fruits. So, Gadol told them, from now on, don't eat those fruits. Make sure meiser's taken off, and you'll have a Yeshua. And Kachava stopped eating those fruits, and he had a Yeshua. Then he asked them, how can I do tshuva? How can I do tshuva for what I did? He told them there was a similar meiser with Rabbi Akiva Eiger that happened. Rabbi Akiva Eiger told the person who had eaten inadvertently that which is not tafras, the tshuva is to be mefarshim from the meiser. Publicize the story. And publish the story to teach people how careful they have to be in yonim of kashrus, how serious it is, that it has the klech from tamtim the lave that could affect a person's davening and learning. And be mefarshim, publicizing the story, you'll have a kapara for what you did. The haftarah this week, the Haftarah brings down in Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Dalad, which is this week's Haftarah. The Pasuk tells us, V'David mecharke v'chol oiz l'fnei Hashem, V'David chogo eifoid bod. It's speaking about they brought the Aron back, and David danced in front of the Aroi, Mecharke, David danced with chol oiz with all his strength of Nei Hashem. And even though David was a melech, and at first glance it didn't seem appropriate for David a melech to dance in front of the Aroi, and David danced with chol oiz with Nei Hashem. Yeah. In Tveria, about 200, maybe a little longer, 200 years ago or so, there was Achnasa Sefer Torah. It was a rare event that now like today we have Achnasa Sefer Torah one week after another, here and here. And today there was a Ksivas Sefer Torah, a Achnasa Sefer Torah that took place. The Rav of Tveria at that time was from Turkey. He's from Turkey. I'll probably say his name wrong. Will you help me out? Rabbi Abulafia. Okay. Is that all right? Abulafia. Okay. So at that time he was close to 80 years old. And he came from Izmir in Turkey to Tveria. And they prepared for the Achnasa Sefer Torah. And the day of the Achnasa, the Sefer Torah was supposed to travel from the house of the Rav to the Beis HaKnesses, to the Shul. So a little while before they were supposed to leave the Rav's house, the Olam gathered outside the Rav's house waiting in order to go in and bring the Sefer Torah and the Rav to the Shul. And they're waiting. And when the time comes for the procession to start, they knock on the door of the Rav's house and they find out the Rav's not home. They were figuring the whole time the Rav was sitting in the house with hachonis, preparing himself for the Achnasa Sefer Torah with all kavonis and kedusha, whatever it might be, and they can't find the Rav. They start looking around, and nobody knows where the Rav disappeared to, where the Rav went. So all the little children get all excited, they start running through the streets trying to look for the Rav, and they run, and they're running. Finally, a short while later, one of the children returns and says, I found the Rav. Where's the Rav? He's outside the shul. He's by the shul. Okay. Fine. Shaul says, no, it's not okay. You know what the Rav is doing in front of the shul? The Rav is standing with a broom, and he's sweeping up the area in front of the shul, and cleaning up the chotzer, the courtyard in front of the shul. So they all quickly run to the shul, and Taka, the Rav is staying there with a broom, and he's cleaning up the courtyard of the shul. And they say to him, Kavod HaTorah, how could you go ahead and clean up the shul? This is not for you to do. And he says to them, Fakat, he said, everybody was so busy with all the hachanas of the Sefer Torah, they forgot to clean up in front of the shul. What will it look like if you bring a Sefer Torah into the base of Knesset and it's not clean? Right. Somebody has to clean up in front of the shul. Everybody was so busy with all the other preparations and forgot about it, so I took it upon myself to do it. And I said, Fakir, this is Kavod HaTorah. Like it says, David danced with all strength before Hashem. When it comes to the Kavod HaTorah, sometimes it doesn't mean always what we picture as Kavod HaTorah, but it means respect for the Torah in any form or way that's necessary. And the same is true when it comes to all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs, I think, mechaved. Sometimes it requires doing a little bit extra work that we ordinarily wouldn't do, but Chas Hashem to view it as a design. When it comes to preparing for Shabbos, Mar brings down. Aroim would go ahead, they would chop the wood for Shabbos, do the cooking for Shabbos, they would do it. When it comes to preparing, everything is part of the mitzvah. It's all covered a Torah. It's all covered a mitzvah to go ahead and to do it. It's a good speech before Pesach. When it comes to putting away the kingdom from Pesach, it comes to cleaning up, the same idea. It's all done the proper way. It's all done for Dvar Mitzvah. Don't look down at it if help is needed, but just the opposite. Whatever is required, it's all covered a Torah, all covered a mitzvah. The Shechina rests in the house. Everybody wants the Shechina in the house. You want the Shechina in the house.
Shalom Bayis.
Shalom Bayis. That's it. After someone's pitching a little bit, the same way you put your koiches into learning, so you put your koiches into Kavod HaTorah, into cleaning and helping as well. The pasuk tells us earlier, going back to the parasha, the simoni tahara of a behemoth tahara is malageira, mefreses pasuk. Those are the two simonim. An animal that chews its cud, an animal that will teach now split hooves. Mefreses pasuk, and Shoshas Set, and Shoshas Shesa, like the Pasuk says in Perek Yud Aleph, and Pasuk Gimel, Kol Mefreses Pasa, Vishoshas Shesa Prosa, is Malas Geira Babahema, Oisla Techei. The Behema has split hooves and chooses cod, that Behema you're allowed to eat, and those are the two Simone Tahara. And then the Torah goes and lists off as Zeh Loisoichu Mimale Hageiro Mefrisi Aparis. And Pasuk Dalid, the following animals, even though they have some of the simonim, the Malageiro Uma Frisi Parasa, Yinalari, the Gomel, the Camel, the Shofon, the Arneves, and the Chazer, the four animals the Torah lists that one is not allowed to eat, even though they have some of the simonim. The Pshapsi Yudulavitz, that's all. Magid Yerushalayim, well known. Was once traveling on an airplane. He's traveling on an airplane, and next to him is sitting a Friar Yid, and he turns to the rabbi next to him, and he wants to show off. He says to the rabbi, you know who I am? You know what I do? And he says, no, what do you do? He tells him, I'm a zoologist, a professor in zoology, and I know everything there is to know about animals. And he starts telling him, Shabbos Yudalev, it's all about the African jungle and the animals of him and this animal and that animal. And fine, he has a whole conversation with him. The stewardess comes around with food and he brings to the zoologist the tray for food. And he puts it down, she puts it down in front of him and walks away. He's about to take a bite and Shabbos Yudalev says to him, yeah, you probably learned that this food's not kosher. Maybe you hold yourself back and you don't have to eat the non-kosher food. So the zoologist says to him, who told you it's not kosher? So he says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu told us that in order to eat animals, they have to have kosher simonim, kosher signs. So the zoologist says to him, Moshe lived a long time ago, it doesn't apply today. So on the usual speech. So Rav Shapps says to him, but Hashem lives forever, and Hashem told it to us. Hashem is Chai V'Kayim, and Hashem told it to us. And that applies today as well. So he says to him, you know what, Rabbi? If you could prove to me that Hashem told this to us without any doubt, then I'll be a Chai V'Tshuva, I'll do Tshuva. But if you can't prove it to me, you leave me alone, and I'm eating my sandwich. Shap says, you sure? If I could prove to you that Hashem was the one who told us the Siman of the Behemoth, without any doubt, you'll do truly. He says, yes, Rabbi. But I want to warn you, you're not the first rabbi that tried. I once had a rabbi speak to me for 4 hours, and I took care of him, and he got nowhere with me. So I'm warning you now, you're wasting your time. But if you want, I'll entertain you, I'll humor you, and I'll listen to you, I'll listen to what you have to say. So Rav Shapps says, fine. You agree not to eat until I finish? Fine. I'm not going to eat. Rav Shapps, the Yidu says to him, tell me. You have a little background? You know a little bit? Do you know the two signs of a kosher animal? You know what the two signs are? He says, yeah, I remember learning two signs. One, it chews its cud, it has split hoofs. Nachon, you're right, very good, correct. He says to the zoologist, tell me, if the animal has only one kosher sign, is it kosher or is it not kosher? What's the din? Are you allowed to eat it or not? So he starts thinking, he says, Rabbi, you know, I'm not sure, I don't know. If it has one kosher sign, I mean, it has either, it chews its cud, or it has split hooves, you know, it's like half and half. Maybe. 50% kosher, 50% not kosher, it's a half and half. You allowed to eat it or not? He says, well, you know what? Probably you can't eat it. So he says to him, right you are? We're not allowed to eat it. And he says to him, so Shapsa says to him, tell me, how many animals do you know in the world that only have one of the two signs? How many animals are there that either chew its cud only and don't have split hooves, or only have split hooves and don't chew its cud? The zoologist starts thinking, maybe he gets one, two, not sure. Shapsi Yudov says to him, if you look inside the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu told us there are only 4 such animals in the world. There's only the camel, Kekomol, the Neves and the Shofan, however you want to translate them, the Neves, the Shofan, and the Chazer. Those are the only 4 animals in the world that have one of the two simonim. Every other animal in the world either has both, double, or nothing. Either it shoots its cud and its split hooves, or it has none of them at all. But the only 4 animals in the world that are these hybrid, half and half, are these 4 animals. And he says to the zoologist, did you ever come across another animal that has one of those simonim?
Only.
With it? Only? And he's thinking. And he says, no. And if Shapsi goes in for the punchline, he says to him, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? This was written a long, long time ago. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't any zoologist. He didn't go to the schools you went to. He didn't go into the jungles in Africa. How does Moshe Rabbeinu know there's only 4 such animals? And even you agree with that. How did he know that? The only way he knew that is from Hashem. Here you have a black and white. These laws are given to us from Hashem. And Hashem is the only one who could say that there are only 4 such animals in the world that have one of the two signs. The zoologist sits there with his mouth open. Can't answer back. He's sitting there, he's silent for 5 minutes, not a word. Finally, Shapsi says to him, no?
That's a bit so.
No, that's right. No. He says to him, no, you're a little bit too quiet. When are you being chayzer b'tshuva? So he says to him, Rabbi, you know what? You got me, he says. But let me eat the sandwich first.
I'm
going to be chayzer b'tshuva. I'm hungry right now. I'm hungry right now. So he says, if that's the case, you were never serious about being chayzer b'tshuva in the first place. You can't just push it off. He says, and right now is your chance. Right now, I stumped you. Admit. I don't know what happened at the end of the story. What the end of the story
that's
was.
Not important.
But it's not important. But the fact that the Torah goes ahead, the Torah writes, there are only 4 such animals, that's only from Hashem. There's no other way. With all the discoveries and all the species that they find today, they have not yet found any other animal that meets both of these criteria, that has one of the two criteria in the world. Okay? We don't need proof like this, but it's black and white. The Torah has it. That Hashem was the one who created the world, and Hashem is able to say that there are only 4 such, animals in the world. Just end off with one short book and we'll stop. It says, right by Chamishi, Ve'esir HaChatos Doroish Dorash Moshe. The goat of the Chatos, Moshe inquired about it. V'nisarif was burnt. Look at the Pesukim, was burnt because they were oining him that day, none of Nabil died, they weren't allowed to eat the Koronos. You have the whole shock of Italian, the whole discussion what happened. In the Sefer Torah, the word Doroish and Dorash, Doroish is the last word of a line, and Dorash is the first word of the next line. If you look in the Chumashim, there's a star by those two words, and it says this is half of the words, the half of the Torah in words. Oh. This is the halfway mark. We're halfway through the Torah. Bakayri says those words, Shabbos, Dorash, he just finished half of the Sefer Torah in words. When he starts the word Dorash, it's already, Dorash is the next, beginning of the next half. You have half of the Sefer Torah in words this week, and the way the Sefer Torah is written is Dorash is written at the end of one line, which signifying the end of the first half. Dorash is the beginning of the next line. It signals the beginning of the second half of the Sefer Torah in words. The Degel Machne Ephraim says Dorash Dorash. A person who thinks that he darshened everything, he thinks he reached the end of the line, he really knows everything, he should know Dorash. He doesn't know anything at all. He has to start over from the beginning again. Dorash, Dorash. A person never finished. You think you're Dorash, you reached the end of the line, you finished. Dorash. It's time to start learning all over again. No matter how much a person learns, thinks he learns, a person always has to start over from the beginning. We also find later in the Torah, V'chaholich agochem, in Pasuk, right before Shvi, we find in Perik Yudal of Pasuk Membeis, Kahalech al Gachain. The Vav in Gachain is big. It's a big Vav in the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara tells us, Vav de Gachain Rabasi, the Vav of Gachain is big. V'hichatzi ha-Torah ba'isiyos. It's half of the Torah in letters. The Vav signifies, if you count all the letters in the Sefer Torah, the Vav is the halfway mark. The Gemara in Kedushin asks, is Vav the end of the first half or beginning of the second half? Where does the letter Vav fit in? And the Gemara says, we're not sure. And the Gemara asks, not sure, count. Let's start counting from Bereshis until the Vav of Gachain, and from the Vav to the end, and we'll see if the Vav of Gachain is part of the first if or the second if. And the Gemara says, we're not baki in Chaseiris and Yiseiris. We're not baki in extra letters or missing letters. We're not Bekiyim, and therefore we don't know exactly if it's there. But Messiah is that the Vav of Gachain is the halfway mark for the Sefer Torah. So this week you have the halfway mark in words, you have the halfway mark in letters as well, so we have the halfway mark through the Sefer Torah for the year. No, person reaches a halfway mark, it's time to sit down and evaluate where we're holding before we go further. No, it's days are getting longer now. The Gemara says the days are longer, there's more time to learn, and so on. So let's be mechazik ourselves a little bit. You may have Sfira anyway is a time person needs chizik. We all need a shave like you said before. There's a sphere. So let's be mechazik ourselves. Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 talmidim died. Let's be mechazik the learning. And the second half, should be a strong half, should be zoicha, to continue learning. Abiyas God, a sudden here, everyone.